You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, Pastor, let us get started. I hope these discussions have been keeping you blessed as well, as much as you're blessing the listeners and myself.
You're very correct. Actually, it comes as a challenge for me to study even more than I studied before.
Listen, it's what we do. We are provoking thought and study and research. And if that is what is happening, then it is a win for all of us. Thank you so much. So today we're doing the seal of unveiling events. We know that the book of Revelation is a book filled with mysteries of things that are yet to come, things that will unfold with time, the apocalyptic end that we are looking towards and all of that. So today, the opening of the seals in Revelation 6 serves as a structured and symbolic sequence that unfolds a series of events illustrating the consequences of human rebellion, divine judgment, and the faithful endurance of believers amid these trials. It sets the stage for subsequent visions and trumpet judgments, ultimately leading to the unveiling of God's final and ultimate plan for redemption and restoration. Today we are going to learn more about that. So, Pastor, first question, what is the overarching purpose of the seals in Revelation 6, and how do they contribute to the theme of sight and visions that we've been looking at this week?
Thank you so much for that question. The purpose of these seals in Revelation chapter 6 is actually the unfolding of God's plan that is there between the establishment of the church up to the end time. And I want our listeners to get that as simply as it is.
Okay.
So it is the representation of God's plan. For the culmination of history, but also establishment of his kingdom. So what we see is that in chapter 6, we have seals. But these seals are giving us different historical events that happened from the establishment of the church up to the end of time. Mm-hmm. So the purpose is to reveal that particular plan, you know, is to reveal what God had in mind, and at the same time, what will happen in history, and then giving it to John so that you and me would have an understanding of what will happen from the time Jesus Christ established the church up to the time he's going to come again. So that's what is in the in Revelation chapter 6. Now, you have also talked about the issue of spiritual insight.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still there.
Yes, so in Revelation chapter 6, what we see is that there is a process of spiritual unveiling or the process of spiritual revelation.
Mm.
What am I trying to say when I say that there is a process of spiritual unveiling and spiritual revelation?
Mm.
The issue is that when each and every seal is broken,
right,
there are deeper insights into the divine plan. Mm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are deeper insights into the divine plan. Like when the first seal is broken and the white horse comes out, there is a deep spiritual insight because this horse goes out to conquer. Okay?
Right.
So as it goes out to conquer, that alone is ushering us into a deeper insight that we need to understand. And that deeper insight is related to our understanding of the Bible.
Mm. How do we gain that that deeper insight or spiritual discernment of what God is communicating with these symbols and with a lot of things that, you know, we are not really sure whether it's metaphorical or if it's literal? How do we gain that discernment, that spiritual discernment, that sight into the world of spiritualism? How do we see all of that? What do we do to gain that type of sight? Or is that just a gift that is reserved for certain people?
No. Okay, fine. We can say that it's also reserved for searching people. And okay. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Yeah, because Revelation chapter 1, remember, Revelation chapter 1, verse yes. 3 tells us that blessed is the one who reads, understands, and takes heed of what is recorded in this book of prophecy. Mm. So we can say that it is reserved for those who study, for those who dig deeper. Mm. Because if you cannot do that, then you can't understand the book of Revelation.
That's true.
Okay? Yes. So you have asked me to say, so how do we get that understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into give you a few hints that are in Revelation chapter 6, let me be quick to say that as listeners or as Christians, we may not be able to understand the book of Revelation if we don't understand the Old Testament. Because the book of Revelation is based on the Old Testament. If you understand the Old Testament, what the Old Testament says in its, you know, revelation, then we'll be able to interpret what is in the Revelation from chapter 1 up to chapter 22. Let me give you a hint. Before these seals which we are studying today are given, actually, for us to understand the seals, we need to go back to chapter 4 and 5. Because in chapter 4 and 5, that's where the stage is set for us to understand chapter 6.
Okay.
Okay? So in chapter 6, what we get is that John sees four beasts. And these four beasts are strange. Okay? They have eyes all around. One looks like an eagle. One looks like a cub. One looks like, you know, like a lion. The other one looks like a man. But if you just restrict your understanding to Revelation, you don't understand. And it is Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 20, who tells us that these four beasts are cherubims. So they're none other than angels. You see?
Those angels sound scary. Now I understand when the angel says don't be afraid, because they are scary to look at, so people must have been afraid.
Sure. Now let's get to the hints that are there in the symbolism of chapter 6.
Okay.
Now, first and foremost, let's understand that the events that are there in chapter 6, these are unfolic eschatological events and symbols. When we talk of eschatological, we are just talking about the time of the end.
Okay.
Meaning to say, all the seven seals, they are symbolic in nature, and these symbols are pointing to specific events. They are pointing to specific
events.
Secondly, the symbols are seven in number.
Meaning
to say, if these symbols are seven in number and they're pointing to seven events, what we're getting is that these symbols are standing for, or they are symbolizing completeness and perfection. Meaning to say, God has revealed himself fully to us, and he has revealed to us a complete insight into what he wants to do. And this is the completeness of whatever God wants us to know. The third point is that all these imageries are pointing to Old Testament images. Because, say, for example, the issue of the four horses, Ezekiel already was given, I mean, not Ezekiel, but Zechariah chapter 1, we are given also four horses. So there are already four horses, which are simply four messengers sent by God to give us a message. Fourth point is that the seven seals of Revelation chapter 6 are pointing to seven events. And these seven events are not simply limited to Revelation chapter 6. When we talk about the seven churches of the book of Revelation, they are the same events which Revelation chapter 6 points to. They are the same events which Revelation chapter 8, 9, and 10 tells us. So you see, there is that parallelism that is there. So it simply calls for patience, but also more understanding for us to understand these things.
I can see that. And clearly, we need to really be intentional about studying the Bible, because like you're saying, if you didn't read these things in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, you're confused, like, what does this mean? But the Bible doesn't write things that without context, God wouldn't put incomplete or confusing things in the Bible where we would now be stuck with no answers. All the answers are there in Scripture. Thank you so much for that. Right. So then what is the role of humanity? So now we know these events are unfolding and they're leading towards the end. What is the role of humanity in these events that are being unveiled by the seals? How does the defiance or the acceptance of humanity play a role in what is about to happen or what is already happening in this situation?
Wonderful question. Let's understand that from the beginning, what God has been seeking is a relationship with his children.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
God seeks to have a relationship. And that makes me feel so good, because God wants to be in love. Just think about it. God wants to be in love with you.
That's beautiful.
Yes. And that calls for two responses. The first response is defiance, that is rejecting God's proposal of love, or acceptance, which means repenting, confessing, and having a good relationship with God. So in the seven seals, there is rejection, but there is also defiance. Let me break it down.
Okay.
In the first seal, when the white horse, when the first seal is broken, a white horse comes out. And this white horse has a bow and it has a crown and it goes out to conquer. What does it mean? That seal points to the conquering power of the gospel.
Right.
Okay? Meaning to say, in the first seal, there was a repentance and there was acceptance of the gospel. There wasn't defiance. Okay?
Right.
In the second seal, there is a red horse. And this red horse was granted to take peace from the earth, and men slay one another, and a great sword was given to the rider of the red horse. What does it mean? There was human defiance and refusal to repent and to contribute to societal unrest and conflicts. So there was defiance in the second seal. In the third seal, there is a black horse. And when this black horse came out, what we find is that there was famine. What does famine point to? Famine points to human greed. Famine points to human injustice, which means that there was defiance. The fourth seal, a pale horse. And this pale horse, when he came out, it was found that the rider was death. What does it tell us? There was defiance. A lot of people were killed simply because other people rejected the gospel.
Right. Okay.
We can go on and on. So you see, the human response is shown by accepting the gospel
or rejecting
or defiance.
Sure. All right. That is an interesting thing. It means in this great controversy, like, we have a very pivotal role in how things are unfolding. As much as it's the spiritual realm that is at war, we have a very pivotal part in this war that is going on. All right. So now, as believers, as Christians, Adventists, but as Christians on a broader aspect, how should this be significant to us? How should it be significant to us in terms of it being a warning and assurance? The things that are being unveiled, these events, how should they serve as an assurance to us as believers, but also as a warning to us as believers?
You know, I thank God because, you know, there are these two sides to the things we are discussing this
right.
week.
In
the previous question, we are looking at, acceptance and defiance.
Yes.
Now, we are looking at warnings, but also assurance. Okay? The dualistic aspect is very, very important in understanding the book of Revelation. Now, narrowing it down to the seven seals of Revelation chapter 6, there are truly warnings for believers. What are we being warned? we are being warned of persecution and tribulation.
Mm.
Because let me give you an example. When the fifth seal was, when the fifth seal was opened, we are told that there were souls which were crying under the altar, and they were saying, "Oh Lord, holy and true, will you refrain the judging and the avenging of our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" So there is a cry for justice to say, hey, we died in the past because of the gospel. So when are you going to avenge for our death? And God said, hold on for a little while until the number of your fellow servants and their brethren are also killed, just as you were killed. So we are being warned here in the fifth seal that there is a persecution coming ahead of us.
Right.
So if persecution comes to you, if persecution come to me, we should not be surprised. Because just as our leaders, our pioneers, or those who believed in the past were persecuted, there is also a persecution coming. So there is a warning for persecution. However, the same warning is also working for our spiritual preparedness, meaning to say we need to be spiritually prepared and to stand firm in our faith, more especially in the face of adversity. So you can see that these warnings, I mean these seals, they are working for our warning, but also an assurance. An assurance for what? An assurance for victory in Christ, that we shall, you know, we shall be victors at the end of the day. We shall all be victors and we shall resurrect and we shall going to meet our Lord in the sky.
Right.
And secondly, there is hope for the future, even though there are all these scary things coming our way.
Yeah, and something that came across my mind when you were speaking is we are supposed to have a different view of the world as Christians, right? Even like in matters of death, we're not supposed to be grieving death like a non-believer. We cannot be crying hopelessly like this is the end, there's nothing else, you know. So even with these events, it might be daunting to know that we will be facing persecution, we'll be ostracized because of what we believe in. But that should bring joy to say, hey, it means Christ is just here. He's at the door. The things are about to come to an end. But at the same time, as human beings, we can understand why the thought is scary. As much as the hope is there, the thought still is scary. So how can we overcome that fear that comes with acknowledging what we are going to face, still having hope, but then being afraid? How do we overcome that fear and have confidence to stand, even if it is at the cost of our lives?
The good thing about what we've just asked is that God has revealed it to us, as it is said in Amos chapter 3, verse 8, that God would not do anything without revealing it to his, you know, prophets. So our hope should be based on what is recorded in the scriptures.
Right.
That's the first thing. That is very important. No wonder when we read the Bible, more especially in the book of Revelation chapter 24, verse 15, we are actually told that when you shall begin to see these things happening, then let he who reads understand. Okay? That is important. Because that helps you to endure when there is hardship, when there is a persecution. But this is the persecution. This is the endurance that comes in because you know that there is an eternal sunshine at the end of all this darkness. Okay? So making sure that we are studious, making sure that we are heeding to what is recorded in the word of prophecy, keeping it, and making sure that we are even patient when we are, you know, suffering all these small persecutions, you know, small sufferings, that builds our endurance, just as James 1:2 tells us that the testing of our faith builds endurance. So it is an endurance, knowing that no, this is not a once, I mean, this is not the end of it all. There is light at the end of the tunnel. So what I can encourage is the studying of the word, taking heed of the word, and putting our faith into practice so that our faith develops endurance. Mm.
Yeah, I think that is. There's a comfort in your words to say that, you know, mm-hmm. God doesn't want any of us to perish. If anything, he wants the whole world to be saved. And while we face these things, it doesn't mean that he's going to abandon us to suffer, but he will mm-hmm. be there through it all. And that should give us strength to overcome the fear that can plague us when we have to face these difficult situations. To wrap up, Pastor, then, how do then these events that are being unveiled in these seals, how do they connect to the larger narrative of what Revelation is about, leading to the resolution of God's plan that he started before even the foundation of the world? How do these events play a role in the bigger picture of what Revelation is all about?
Wonderful question. Actually, if you look at these seals, as I've already said, you're going to find that they correspond, they sync, if I can use a modern word, they synchronize
right.
with the message to the seven churches.
Mm.
So let me give you an example. The message that went to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 correspond with the message of the first seal that is found in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask me to say, how do they connect to the larger narrative of the book of Revelation, that's how they fit.
Mm.
And other parts, for example, which are talking about persecution in the seven seals,
mm-hmm.
that corresponds to the persecution we read in Revelation chapter 13 and the persecution we see in Revelation chapter 16 and even in chapter 19. Okay, so mm-hmm. you're going to find that the seven seals, they do not stand alone. Actually, if you can ask me, I'm going to tell you that the whole book of Revelation
right.
has eight visions.
Mm.
Okay,
mm.
has eight visions. We should not be distracted by the division of the Bible into chapters and verses.
Right.
These came later on when the Bible was already written.
Mm.
So, the first vision of the book of Revelation are the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
The second vision of the book of Revelation are the seven seals, which we are studying today.
Right.
The third vision of the book of Revelation, they are the seven trumpets.
Mm.
Just to give you an example.
Okay.
And the message of the seven churches, the message of the seven seals, and the message of the seven trumpets, all these messages, they synchronize nicely and the events are the same.
Okay.
Let me give you, before we go, specific mm. examples.
Mm-hmm.
The first seal of the book of Revelation tells us what happened in the first century. That is the first 100 years when the Jesus Christ came and preached the gospel and the gospel triumphed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm.
so that's the message in the first seal. In the second seal, what we see is what happened from the end of the first century up to the fourth century, which was an imperial era. A lot of people were persecuted because they rejected to worship the Roman emperors.
Mm-hmm.
The third seal tells us about the transition from imperial Rome, that is Rome ruled by emperors, to mm-hmm. spiritual Rome ruled by the papacy. And during this transition, there was also famine for the word of God, and a lot of people were also persecuted. The mm-hmm. fourth seal, where we see a pale horse with its rider as death, this is the Middle Ages, and it is also known as the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Many people lost their lives because of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth seal, where we see souls under the altar, this is the Reformation time, because we are told that when the souls cried, they were given white robes,
mm.
telling them to wait up until others have suffered persecution. And what was the white robe which was given to them? It was the Reformation. When the Reformation came, persecution stopped. The gospel began to be preached powerfully. The mm. sixth seal, now we see the earthquake, the sun turning black and the moon becoming like red. And this is the modern era, 1833, 1876, when the stars fell down from heaven, and then the moon became red as what? As blood.
Mm.
And then the seventh seal is actually the second coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So right. These are the seven seals, in summary. So you can see that they sync nicely with the gospel message as it is seen preached from the Old Testament up to the second coming of Jesus, because you find all the more important themes in the seven seals, including the second advent of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The Bible is so holistic in its message, like everything
very connects. Very holistic.
Wow, yes. I love that. Thank you so much. That is a very, very, like I said, Pastor, start thinking about that book. That book is now important. The more we talk, the more I see the vision coming true, that there's the way you've broken it down makes it so much more easier to digest it, because Revelation is a very daunting book. You know, it looks scary. It looks like it's a complicated book, but you've simplified it and you've shown how it connects to even simpler texts in the Bible, meaning that God is not complicating anything. It's all simple. It's all the same. It's all one message. And that would make it easy for us to continue studying diligently, so that we have that discernment of the events to come and what God is communicating to us. Thank you so much, Pastor Lubani, for today.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you too. I'm looking forward to our last conversation tomorrow. I'm sad it's coming to an end, but I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Pastor Lubani, and he has shown us what events are being unveiled by the seals in Revelations, and I hope that you understood it. But if you didn't, listen, let's sign a petition. I'm sure if we get about 1,000 to 10,000 signatures, he's going to write that book, simplifying the book of Revelations for amateur readers like me. And some of you who might also struggle with these prophetic and symbolic sections of the Bible. But we're grateful for the message that he has rendered to us.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.